as I was. They want you to make the leap from their false premise to what they want you to believe. And so I'm going to ask everyone out there to kind of put this thought in your mind. If you come across something, and it starts with the Word of God, but then it uses the argument of the Father of Lies, ask yourself, why does the Word of God need the tools of the Father of Lies to make its point? And the answer is, it doesn't. The Word of God will stand alone. It will make its own point. You can logically proceed from there, but if you find logical fallacies in those things, you need to just call time out and say, I don't need to read any more of this. I could spend the rest of my life countering all these things online, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here to spread good news. I'm telling people, just leave them. You know, if they use logical fallacies, just leave them. And I'm not sure if that was more of a red herring or a non sequitur. You know, I enjoy studying this sort of stuff and logical thinking, critical thinking, as well as creative thinking and parallel thinking and those things. I like thinking about thinking. It's called metacognition. I have fun with that. But if you get into something and you know that's a logical fallacy, don't follow to their conclusion, because here's the deal. This is a logical foundation here. If the premise is false, you can make everything after that look like it's true. If you set up a false premise, you can make everything look like it's true. And you might be out there thinking, I thought Tom was talking about the Galatians, and now he's making us do critical thinking. What's up with that? That's not fair. I'm listening. They were a power. I shouldn't have to think. I just want to listen. But we as Christians, modern-day Christians, we better learn to think. We better learn to think clearly. Guess what? God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And we need to practice using a sound mind. That means we need to understand how to think. Years ago, 17, 18, I don't know, I wrote a editorial for the Oklahoman, and it was talking, should we teach creation in school? Should we teach the Bible in school? And I said, instead of teaching the Bible in school, I would rather us teach students how to think logically, so that they know what we believe by faith, what we believe is a theory, and other things that we believe we can sort with. Teach them how to think so they can decide for themselves, yeah, I don't see it, but I believe this by faith, okay? And it was received well when I put it in the newspaper. When I posted it online, I had like 2,000 hits. It says, you're an idiot. Evolution is not a theory, it's a fact. Well, it's always been a theory, but because it's been a theory for so long, people have just assumed, well, it's got to be true. No new information really added to it, but it's like I grew up with theory of evolution, I just dropped the theory part, it's got to be true. We have forgotten how to think. And it's important that we as believers, before we go believing something else other than what we know to be true from the Bible, we better be able to think it through. It logically, is this true? When the 2020 and the riots and the whole BLM thing started and everyone wanted to be a part of that, I saw so many people trying to make scriptures fit into the narrative, and I said, it doesn't count if you have to change a scripture. And so many people that I knew and Christian people and believers are just liking and sharing. It's like, that's not what the scripture says, though. Okay? If you want to make your own point without the scripture, go for it. And I believe we should treat everyone with dignity. The human dignity is a good thing. We should lift up people with burdens. We should do everything we can to help some of the things those movements wanted to do, everything we can except pervert the Word of God. Okay? When you pervert the Word of God, you're not using the Word of God to say this is what we need to do. So if you see someone changing something, even if it's just a little, watch out for that. Okay? There we go. Tom said, now I got to think again. We do. God gave us a sound mind. He wants us to use it. And there's the proverb, one of my favorites, is iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We should be talking to each other. Say, let's think this one through. What does this mean? Can you explain that to me? I want to explain it. I want someone to sharpen me, so that my mind is not just this thing I have to carry around in my head and it's just dead weight. I want to put it to use, and God wants us to put it to use. And we don't need to fall for the snake oil. Don't buy the snake oil. There's one that kind of ties into Galatians and Ephesians, where the premise is the law was nailed to the cross. Okay, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says our sin was nailed to the cross. The bill, the invoice for our indebtedness was nailed, not the law was nailed to the cross, but someone, probably one person out of 10,000 might have said that, and so they'll take that as a premise to lead you to a false conclusion. Say, okay, if one person out of 100,000 people is saying this, it's not an issue. Okay, yeah, go talk to that person, but don't use what that person says as a false premise to lead me to somewhere else, because if the premise is false, then you can prove everything thereafter to be true. Learn how to think. We need to learn how to think critically, logically. It's like, well, can I just, you know, go through and just do what God's word says? Yeah, you can. But you better not listen to anyone else. If you listen to someone else or someone tries to counter it, you better know how to take that information and logically process it and see when you're being fooled. There's a saying that says it's easier to fool someone than to convince them that they have been fooled. A lot of people have been fooled and they don't want to admit it, and so they anchor themselves to it. We need to make sure we don't get fooled in the first place. And there's a lot of stuff going on out there. And I go through and I read, I see the people that liked and shared. I'm thinking, how could you be fooled? We don't think anymore. Okay. And I know this is our power of preaching God's word, and Tom's preaching thinking, but we are supposed to think. We're supposed to be a workman approved. We're supposed to know enough of God's word and how to process it and how to apply it to our lives that there's some thinking required. We are thinking beings. God didn't make us like the cows. We're not just standing out grazing in the pasture, and there's only two basic decisions for a cow. Am I going to be milk or meat? And they don't even get to make those themselves. Okay, so it's, you know, we're supposed to be thinking creatures, and we need to understand when we see these things that are just wrong, don't even read it to the conclusion, because then you're going to be wrestling with it in your mind. Take that thought captive right then, make it obedient to Christ. That's just garbage, not reading it. And like I say, I could spend the rest of my life countering all those false arguments out there, but I would rather deliver good news. So my counsel is, if you see something and there's a false argument, logical fallacy, something in it, say, okay, let me just stop right there, go on to the next thing. If someone wants to convince me about something, about what God has to say, they better do it with some clear thinking. Because what Paul was saying to you, to the Galatians, if you go back to chapter 3, says, you foolish Galatians, you foolish Galatians. I would not want to receive a letter. Well, let me explain to those young people who might be listening. A letter is something that you used to write and sometimes fold up and put in an envelope. Back in Paul's day, you rolled it up and someone carried it by horse, probably. But you fold up, put an envelope, put a stamp on it, and 5 or 7 days later, it got where it was going. It's not an email. It's not a text. It's a letter. And when you got it, you opened it up with excitement. Like, we got a letter. Even made good music. My baby, she wrote me a letter. I mean, young people don't even know the good music that goes with that. But would you imagine, put yourself in that position where you're opening a letter with excitement, and it says, you foolish Galatians, you foolish Americans, you foolish Oklahomans. How would you like to read a letter? Say, what? Well, some of us are due a letter because we see it online, got to be true. The whole thing, you know, don't believe everything on the internet, you know, half of it's not true, signed Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, people say, yeah, that's got to be true. And we're at that point. People just see it, they accept it, they move on. We can't do that. Okay, you want to just stick to something to believe to be true? Stick to your Bible. If someone's talking you into something else, say, okay, I'm going to have to logically proceed from what God says to what you're saying. And if it doesn't get me to where I want to go, and there are some logical arguments, there's some things we need to do. I go through those things every, should we go do this as a ministry? Should we do this, you know, to help these people? And I want to logically proceed what God's word says. Sometimes it's just straightforward. Don't kill them. Okay. So those are the simple ones. You don't steal from them. But sometimes we need to decide, okay, how do we help this family? You know, is it money? Is it counsel? Is it, you know, and we need to use our sound mind to discern what we're supposed to do. But so often it's just, oh, that sounds good. Sounds good. Well, is it true? And I don't want your ratings to go down, but I'm going to say some of us are lazy. We get lazy. Okay, and if you read all the Proverbs, there's no good reward for laziness. The one who puts what they have to use is the one that's rewarded. You go to the parable of the talents. The one who put what God gave him, what the master gave him to use, is the one who's told, well done, good. We're supposed to do that with our minds. We're supposed to do that with our thinking. Take what God gave us, put it to good use, put it into practice, and then we'll produce good results. But too many of us out there, too many Christians are being fooled by anything that comes along. Salvation is 100% the gift of God. Never let anyone get you away from that. And for everything that people want to present to you, say, okay, what does God's word say? Okay, does what they're saying logically proceed from that? If the anywhere along the line I get, no, it doesn't. I just need to stop, take that thought captive, saying I'm not going any farther with that. And I see Neva smiling, so maybe she's got something to say. No, she fooled me. But that's pretty much where I'm going to wrap up.
Well, just thinking about the different things that you've talked about this morning and how we can be so easily fooled with so many different things just reminds me, Tom, of the many, many, many things that are on TV that are so pathetic that if we sit there and watch them, we're bound to be, well, like the frog that you throw in a pan of boiling water, they'll jump right out, but you put them in a pan of tepid water, turn the fire up, and slowly they die. And we watched some of the Grammys or whatever it was on TV last night, and we were just in shock at, first of all, some of the language, and I remember when it used to be good along many years ago, and secondly, the inappropriate dress of so many of the women that was just shocking, absolutely shocking. And if we don't turn away from those kind of things, if we are constantly in that kind of surrounding and that kind of involvement on TV or at the movies or things like that, we're going to just slowly get whittled away, just like water running through the rocks that finally makes a canyon. You know, we're just going to be depleted of what we need to have in our heart and what we need to live by and what's right for us.
There's old saying, giggo, garbage in, garbage out, but the garbage never fully comes out. It resides in there, and you keep the more stuff that we look at, they say, I know I shouldn't be watching this, but, you know, well, everything after but, we're retaining a lot of that. Our kids are retaining a lot of that. And I'll put on a movie, it sounds like it's good, and then after a while it's like, okay, that was like 3 or 4 in 1 minute, where it's like, you know, I got grandkids running around the house, and the plot sounds good, and I may have said this before, I watched Bruce Willis was one of my favorite actors, and I watched him in like Moonlighting, and he did a Disney movie, and he did something, and I know he can act well without that language, but then there'll be the Die Hard movies, I love the plots, but couldn't they do them with, you know, something? You can show disgust and anger and whatever emotion you want to with a different vocabulary, and I wrote a book about, in a lesson plan about how to overcome profanity, and the definition of profanity, vulgarity, is characterized by ignorance. Well, who would want to say, okay, hey, I'm cussing because I want to be known as a dummy? No, well, if you think about it that way, and we train ourselves not to watch that, not to say that, before we get in that situation. I know, you know, when you hit your thumb with the hammer, something's going to come out. But if you trained yourself to say something other than what has been coming out, you're ready for it. I mean, it doesn't matter. The thumb still hurts like crazy. But there's discipline required. You have to decide way in advance, what's my lexicon? What am I going to say when I am out of control because the pain is so bad? Well, I have these words that are going to come out, and they're not offensive to anyone. But we have to practice that, and it's work. Oh, not only Tom wants me to think, but he's saying it's work. But that's the way it is. I think I'll wrap up right there.
Okay. Talking about the evolution from what they teach us in school, I remember it. Dinosaurs walked the earth. You know how I know?
Oh, I should, but you go ahead. Is this like coronavirus? Is there a punchline with it?
Because they've actually found proof. Okay. They have found the bones of dinosaurs. Okay. So if we've came from that, what they say in school, what they've taught me in school, how come they haven't found any fossils of that yet?
Yeah, why are there still monkeys and apes if we evolved from them?
And wouldn't there still, I mean, if that were the truth, would there not still be some half people and half monkey?
Yeah, there's a lot of unanswered questions that people say, but I'm going to accept the theory as fact anyway. Yeah. So it's good to explore. It's good to use our mind. It's good to explore all these possibilities. But let's use our mind, critical thinking, look for logical fallacies, mm-hmm. don't fall for them. And God did give us a sound mind, and we need to use mm-hmm. our sound mind. I'm going to tell you, when I put that online, it wasn't just, it was like the one, some people just gave a one-word answer. It was moron. Moron. It's like, how could you believe, you know, that it's a theory? Everybody mm-hmm. knows it's not. And, well, it was never proven. So it was, yeah, it's, there is a whole world out there that is just so susceptible to whatever's thrown out there. And there's things called confirmation bias and belief biases that if it, what they say aligns with what you were thinking, then it's got to be true. Mm-hmm. And that's what we got to have to watch out for. We have to watch out for ourselves that we don't, you know, it's called eisegesis when we put what we believe into the Bible. We're not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be exegesis. We pull out what God intended to say. But too often we say, this is what I believe. I'm going to find a place to fit it in. We got to watch out for that too. But mm-hmm. the main thing I wanted to say today is don't be fooled by the snake oil salesmen mm-hmm. who are trying to sell you something different than what God said.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Neva Pyatt, and from Pastor Tom Spence, y'all have a blessed Monday, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.